Judy, and again, as promised, we have Miss Kathy Cousins on the phone from Detroit joining us here on a jazz matinee. Kathy, how are you?
Hi, Joe Zupan. I'm wonderful, and yourself?
Doing great. Thanks for joining us on this beautiful afternoon. We've been loving this recording. You know, I keep saying every time we play it, and I say, you know, we've known this young lady for about 12 years, been following your career a long time, and you get a chance to record on a major label residence, but I know that's a big deal. But God, you've been working with Tamir Hendelman for a little bit of a time, so things must be looking good.
Actually, Tamir and I met through the president of Resonance Records, who came and saw me perform at the Jazz Standard in New York City in 2002. And he introduced himself to me, and he said he had a concert series at his home as part of his Rising Jazz Stars Foundation. And he invited me to perform, and I said, can you get me a great trio? And he said, I've got just the trio for you. And the pianist, of course, was Tamir Hendelman, who works with the Jeff Hamilton Trio, and he's by his own right, has two records out. One is on Resonance Records, and he plays in the Clayton Hamilton Orchestra, too. He's amazing. So we recorded, we collaborated on this, and the arrangements were a true collaboration, and it's the view of the record, from my perspective, is that it's a contemporary exploration of the West Coast School of Cool movement that celebrates the artistry of Anita O'Day, Chris Connor, Julie London, and June Christie. It's really not an impersonation or a tribute CD. It's totally a modern exploration, but it's almost retro modern in the sense that what I was going for was a little bit of that old prestige Blue Note sound, and I think I'm pretty sure we achieved it.
I think you did. So you talked with Tamir about that sound and the whole thing, obviously.
I told him exactly what I wanted, and every arrangement for every song on the disc, we collaborated. It was a true collaboration. I think more like a musician than I do a vocalist. I come from that background. And so I knew exactly how many bars of this I wanted and what kind of interlude pieces that I wanted. I didn't want to, it was a vocal record, and I didn't want long-winded solos on this particular record. I go for that. I've gone for that on some of my other recordings, and it's fine. But with this particular record, I wanted it to be more of a vocal record. So instead of long, long solos, I opted for these ensemble interlude pieces that you'll find throughout the record.
It's a beautiful recording. You know, if I remember correctly, you had been talking about this for a while, this kind of project.
Well, I have a show that I put together a couple of years ago called The Ladies of Cool. And it started with these four women and then other women that came from that same place and time from West Coast Cool, like Jackie Kane and Irene Krall, and there were a few other, like, really celebrated singers out of the West Coast Cool movement. So I'd already been out doing a show called The Ladies of Cool, and then when this project came to be, the show became even more advanced. I now have a back screen presentation with a PowerPoint that runs behind the band with historical photographs of these women and the composers and historical factoids. And we even have some public domain June Christie and Anita O'Day film shorts. A lot of the performing arts centers that present the show, like the whole multimedia aspect of the show. So it's available for those who want it, and it's easy to do. A lot of people are doing that these days.
That's amazing. Kathy Cousins, our guest vocalist again, her new CD called To the Ladies of Cool, a love letter to Chris Connor, Anita O'Day, June Christie, Julie London. So are you, I'll bet you're introducing younger audiences or younger members of the audience to these vocalists maybe for the first time?
I hope so. Yeah. I really do. It keeps the name of vocal jazz alive, really, which we need to do every day out in the public world, and hopefully some younger people will appreciate what this is about. Normally, the audiences that attend the performing arts centers for this type of a show, I want to say, are 50 and up. I love it when younger audiences attend this because I always take audience questions. It's part of my show, and every time I perform, I always take questions from the audience.
Nice.
They pretty much, it's an open microphone. They can pretty much ask anything they want within reason. And the younger ones really pepper me with questions. They're very intrigued. It's almost like talking to a group of high school students that know nothing about, that have very little knowledge about these four women and what they did and who they were. And interestingly enough, three of the women, Anita, June, and Chris, even though they're known as the West Coast Cool singers, are all from the Midwest.
Yeah, yeah.
Julie London was the only gal that was born and raised in Los Angeles, and her name was Gail Peck. Her name was Gail Peck, and it was changed to Julie London because she was a film actress.
Sure,
and
sure.
Alan Ladd's wife, Susan Ladd, was a casting agent, and Julie was working as an elevator operator in a department store, and that's how she got discovered.
Do you have a favorite of these four ladies?
Oh, wow. I really have to pick Chris Connor, because Chris, for a couple of reasons, Chris lived under the radar of the other three women. She was also the third to follow Anita and June in the Kenton Band. Her music was very moody. She was recorded. She had seven records out on Atlantic Records. I think prior to that it was Bethlehem. But when she let the Erdogan brothers produce her, and they owned Atlantic Records and still do at the time of her career, they pretty much gave her carte blanche and let her pick anything she wanted. So she would go to Colony Music and look for little-known recorded material and sheet music. And people like Charles DeForest some of the obscure writers out there. Would Al Cohn, the jazz sax player, wrote songs that she ended up recording that were very unhackneyed. They weren't really well-known tunes. And I am very much like that. When I choose material for a record, I'm also a songwriter. So the music and the lyric really have to speak to me in order for me to record something on disc. I did pick a couple of tried and trues. For instance, Learning the Blues and Where Are You are pretty well known. But Hershey Bar is Hershey's Kisses. My version of Hershey's Kisses was originally Hershey Bar. And it was written for Johnny Mandel, or by Johnny Mandel, for Stan Getz in 1950.
Yeah.
And then within a decade, Anita O'Day cut it as a vocalese scat, and I didn't want to photocopy anything that O'Day was doing, so I wrote the lyric for it.
All right.
And it's now called Hershey's Kisses.
Well, since you set that up, can we hear that? Can you stay another break, and we'll hear some Hershey Kisses?
Sure.
All right. This is Kathy Cousins joining us here on Jazz Matinee here at 90.5 WICN. We're Jazz Plus for New England. Here's Hershey's Kisses from her, again, new recording, To the Ladies of Cool.
Yes, sweet as you are, I love you, Mr. Hershey. Hershey Bar.
And more music from our guest today here on a Jazz Matinee, Miss Kathy Cousins from the, again, new Resonance recording, To the Ladies of Cool, a love letter to Chris Connor, Anita O'Day, June Christie, and Julie London. And we heard that tune, music by Johnny Mandel, lyrics from Kathy Cousins, Hershey's Kisses. We're at 3:33 on this Tuesday Jazz Matinee here at 90.5 WICN. We're Jazz Plus for New England. I'm Joe Zupan. Great to have you along. And again, Kathy Cousins joining us on the phone from Detroit. Kathy, you mentioned Chris Connor's probably your favorite.
Well, they're all my favorite.
Yeah.
But, you know, she was the underdog of the four women. I really feel like she lived most of her life in the shadow of those other three gals. But the material she picked and just her phrasing and her understated delivery of this of the music. It just, I tend to gravitate to her, and I don't know what it is. It's just I've tuned in to what she was about, and I think on some fundamental level, the way I look for material and the things that I try and do in a delivery of a song, it, on some fundamental level, I feel a connection to her. I actually feel a connection to every one of these ladies of cool on a fundamental level, but Chris, it just speaks to me the most, I think.
Did you get a chance to meet any of them at all, ever?
I've never met any of them. Chris Connor died recently. She died a couple of summers ago, and her manager is still alive, and I was thinking very seriously about contacting her manager and trying to set up an interview, because I'd like to write something for a jazz publication.
Sure.
And I think she deserves all the publicity. I think all of these women deserve as much publicity as they can get from beyond. They all deserved it. Anita O'Day had an incredibly rough life. She was born Anita Bell Colton in 1919 in Chicago. And, you know, she had a really rough life, both in poverty and in the extraneous things that she used to do in her life. But she survived, and she lived until 2006, and she passed away on Thanksgiving Day in Los Angeles. And the year that she passed away, she actually put out a record called Indestructible, and that she was. She was totally indestructible.
Kathy Cousins, our guest here on, again, a jazz matinee. Her recent recording on the Resonance label, To the Ladies of Cool. Kathy, you were talking about, you know, the founder of that label, Resonance, George Klabin, and his Jazz Rising Stars series. But, you know, you've been in the business for a long time. I know you worked with Don Was way back when. Do you stay in touch with him?
Yes, I just got an email from Don about a week ago.
Yeah.
He was in Detroit, which is where I reside, and I missed him when he was here. I was not able to attend a function that he came in for. But I see Don maybe once or twice a year, and we stay in touch. And that was an incredible time in my life, being a part of that band. And actually, Don is so progressive that he used a lot of jazz influences and jazz musicians within the context of the band Was Not Was. I remember one of the records that I sang background vocals on, that same LP featured both Ozzy Osbourne and Mel Torme. So, I mean, Don did a lot of interesting things and still does. I mean, the guy's a genius. Look what he's gone on to
do in his
life.
What did he teach you most, do you think, about the business or music?
Oh, boy, that you could have both an R&B and a jazz career simultaneously. I have an R&B record out right now as we speak that's being played up and down the Carolinas. It's in the beach shag music community.
Okay.
And I did a remake of the Jackie Wilson hit Lonely Teardrops, and I recorded it with a band out of Nashville, and the band and the name of the project are simultaneous. It's called the Detroit Memphis Experience, and it's a lot of fun to be able to do both genres.
Let's mention your website real quick. Kathy Cousins, with a K, KathyCousins.com, KOSINS. So they can learn all about all the projects there.
Right, they can learn about the projects. I'm on Facebook. I'm on KathyCousins.com. And, I'd love it if your listeners would chime in a little bit.
There it is. So the CD's doing very well across the country, so I saw your itinerary. You're staying kind of busy out and about.
I stay kind of busy out and about. I try and stay busy to the point where I'm gone around half the year, if possible, on a good year. And then there's been, you know, with every artist, there's great years and there's not great years. It's all cyclical. And so when I'm not out touring as much as I'd like to be, I'm hustling the gig, which I teach a class in called Gainful Employment and the Art of Hustling the Gig. And don't laugh. It's true.
No, I mean, that's true. I know.
People have to be very proactive about their careers, especially careers in the arts, any arts, whether it's visual or musical or theater or dance. And I'm also a painter.
Well, I was going to bring that up right next. Yes, you are.
I'm a modern abstractionist, and I do visual interpretations of audio recordings by the jazz greats. And if your listeners are so inclined to go to my website, there's an art button which they can link to, and they can see a slideshow presentation of about, maybe 25 or 30 of my pieces. And I show in some galleries, and I also travel with a lot of my paintings at various performance spaces, which will have like a gallery capacity in the performing arts space. Sometimes I ship ahead of time, and if I can't ship ahead of time, then I'll bring some of the smaller pieces. So I always try and bring some artwork, unless, of course, I'm performing at a museum. There are a lot of museums that have jazz series and whatnot, and you're not allowed to bring artwork into a museum. But other than that, I do commissioned work. I do sell my artwork. And if anybody wants to buy an autographed copy of my CD, my own little public service announcement is they can order right through me on my website.
All right, KathyCousins.com. Kathy, so what's ahead for the rest of the year here now that the CD's out there and doing quite well?
Well, I've got a few things coming up. I'm gone almost the entire month of April. I'll be playing a couple of shows in different parts of Florida. I'll be playing a couple of shows, one in Birmingham, Alabama, and I'm doing a college event in Mississippi. And then I'll be going to the University of Memphis, which has an incredible jazz program. And they're doing a whole week that celebrates Jewish arts. And the final concert is a jazz concert that celebrates Jewish composers. So they've invited me in to be their guest, and that's in the middle of the month. And then I'm doing another college, working with another college jazz ensemble in San Antonio, Texas. And then, surprisingly enough, May and June and July, I didn't really plan to do much. I wanted to take a little time off. I wanted to do some painting. I have to get ready for a couple of gallery shows. So I thought I'd use a couple of months. I have a few gigs. I'll be in and out of town a little bit, but I'm really going to try and chill out a little bit because I have been on the road a lot, and I want to get some painting done, and besides, it's very therapeutic. And then August is a very busy month. I have concerts in and out of town, and then I start really working now towards lining things up for the fall. In October, I've got dates in the Pacific Northwest and in Texas and in Wisconsin, and a little bit of New Jersey in September, and then in November and December, I've got some more college events that I do. I do a lot of college master classes and also working with the big bands. I have a really nice big band book. So I get invited into many colleges and universities. And from there, I'll probably just keep doing what I'm doing with getting as much life out of this Ladies of Cool show and to the Ladies of Cool City as possible, and I'm going to try and take it to Europe.
Well, that sounds awesome. It's a great recording, and I'm sure that I know that the performances are equally as amazing as well. So, Kathy, thanks so much. Always a pleasure to catch up with you. Thanks for been a while since we've spoken, and we really do appreciate this music. It's just a wonderful, wonderful recording.
And I thank you so very much, Joe, for being a big supporter of the music that I've done.
It's been a long time now. So thanks so much, Kathy.
Thank you so much.
Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.